Hello and good morning, Stavanger Church. Good to see you. For those here on the lawn and in your vehicles, those in attendance, and also to you who are watching online the recording, I would like to welcome you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is good to be gathered here together today on this July 12th, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. And just want to begin with a few announcements. Of course, if you need to use the restroom, down here, over to my left, you have the restroom downstairs through that bottom entrance. Okay. Also, important reminder, today, stick around after the service. We have a congregational meeting after the service regarding the call of Eric Smith. For me, this is a very special thing. This is what brought me and my family here. Stavanger has a very special opportunity for young folks who are entering the ministry to partake in a pastoral position while in seminary. So we're going to consider the call of Eric Smith today after the service. Also, members will have the right to vote on that. Any more announcements here? Don't think so. Anyone have anything to add? Okay. Well, let's begin with a call to worship from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Now let us meditate on those words with a moment of silence and the tolling of the bell. At this time, I'd like to invite up Caleb Larson, and we'll have our opening worship.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you all. Would you join us as we begin our worship in song and in praise this morning? And I invite you to stand if you're able. If you're in your car, of course, we don't expect you to stand, but if you're able to stand, would you stand with us as we sing together this morning? And we're going to begin by singing Revelation Song. Sing the first verse one more time.
Holy, holy.
Proverbs 18:10 tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into, and they are safe. And so as we worship the name, the strong name of God this morning, would you join us as we sing together Your Name?
Seated. Please continue singing with us, Speak, O Lord.
Plant
It is good to praise the Lord together. Now let us take this time to confess our sins. If you see in your bulletin, the insert, start with the confession of sin, Almighty God our Maker. I'll read the first part. Almighty God our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And if you flip over that insert, we will confess our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please read with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you for sharing those words with me. Let's take a moment now for prayer. Does anyone here have any specific prayer requests that they'd like to share? Well, surgery for Barb Thompson on Tuesday. Yes. Anyone else? Well, we know we have many prayer requests usually listed here on the bulletin at Stavanger. Due to space and this new format, we had to push those off, but we still lift up those many people who are asking for prayer. And so if you would join me in a moment of prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we honor your name. We rejoice that we are able to gather together again in this new way. We pray and we miss those who cannot gather with us. We pray that your Spirit would comfort them in this time. Lord, we pray for our land, for this nation, and all who reside within. Lord, we need strength for the days ahead. We need your Spirit to guide us. And we need your Spirit to comfort us. We know that by grace, we can look forward to the future because you walk with us. No matter what we face, Lord, we take courage because we rest in you. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the good news, the gospel, the news of your kingdom, the living hope that we have in you, Jesus. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we thank you now for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Blessings of life, freedom, family, and food we partake, and for this sunshine. Lord, we appreciate them as they are gifts from you. Lord, we lift up all those who are suffering, torments of illness, debilitating disease and sickness, the effects of age. Lord, we ask that you would have mercy, and we trust that in your name they will come to a better day in the hope of you, Lord. Lord, I pray over the word that we're about to hear. We're not just going through the motions here, but we want to hear from you, Lord. We want to hear your word. So open our hearts, open our minds, help us to receive your word as good soil in which your word takes root. Pray over Caleb as he delivers this message. May your spirit be with him and with us as we hear and listen. Speak, O Lord. And now if the congregation would join me in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And amen. And it is my pleasure to welcome today our special guest preacher, Caleb Larson.
Thank you, Pastor Giovanni. Thank you, Stavanger Church. It's good to be able to be here with you on this occasion today. It is... keep dropping my mask there. I apologize. Yeah. It is a little bit of a different venue here, preaching outside. New for me, anyway. We have been doing it for a few weeks, but what a beautiful day. We couldn't have asked for a nicer day to gather outside. And with all the weather that we've been having, give thanks for it. Give thanks for a beautiful morning, because this is a day that the Lord has made, and he has made it for us to gather together and to worship him this morning, and we have a lot to be grateful for. Well, as I bring God's word to you this morning, I want to look at Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to read verses 18 through 23. And for some of you, this will likely be a familiar passage. It's the pericope text for this week, the selected reading for this week. And it is a parable of Jesus that is well known, and probably in some ways one of his more famous parables. You always have to say one of his, because there's always a two or three that come to mind. But this one is unique in that it's one of the few parables that Jesus actually not only tells the parable, but then goes on to explain the meaning of. And because of that, it's important to us, because it helps us understand not just how do we understand this parable, but it helps us understand how do we see Jesus using parables, and how do we understand his other parables in light of how he interprets his meaning in this own passage. And it is a gift for us that this was recorded, because many times Jesus intentionally did not explain his parables so that there would be a veil of separation between those who understood and those who did not. And in this case, it was Jesus' own disciples who struggled a little bit to understand. And so in private, he had to explain to them the meaning. And so we're going to read in our text today, verses 1 through 9, Jesus' first telling of the parable. And then 18 through 23, the part later when he explains to the disciples what it meant. And as we consider this parable of Jesus today, I want to consider what it means for us. what it means for us to have good soil, or excuse me, good soil management. I read in the name of the Lord, and I invite you to follow along if you have your Bibles. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then in verse 18, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pause with me for a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us this morning. I thank you that your word still speaks. And Lord, I pray that you would open my mouth to proclaim your word today. I pray that you would open our eyes that we may see, that you would open our ears that we may hear, that you would open our minds that we may understand, that you would open our hearts that we may believe. And Lord, by believing, may we turn and be healed today, even as you have promised. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, as we hear in Jesus' parable, Jesus is talking about the various types of soil that the sower encounters as he goes about his task. Now, I will note to begin with, for those who are not familiar with the term sowing, we are not talking here about one who works with a needle and thread. That word sewing more commonly today is used when we talk about someone who is sewing a quilt or sewing a garment. Jesus here is using a word S-O-W, not S-E-W, and it means to scatter or to spread, to sow the seed in a field. He's talking about a farmer going out and scattering seed in the field. And as the practice was in Jesus' day, they would take the seed and they would walk along the field and they would scatter the seed out. And the hope was that the seed would land where you wanted it to land and that it would take root and that it would grow. And that's the image that Jesus is describing here of a sower who is walking alongside the path, throwing the seed onto his field, hoping that it will grow. And he is describing the fate of that seed as it lands on four different kinds of soil. And in our message today, I want to do two different things. There's really kind of two parts to this message, and each of those parts have parts to them too. I'm not going to break it down into one or two or three. There's parts to it. The first thing I want to consider today are the four types of soil that Jesus talks about, because he gives us four different kinds. And the second thing I want to consider is that last soil in particular, that good soil, and how is it that that good soil comes about? And so that's our focus here in our time together this morning. I want to talk about the four different types of soil that Jesus talks about, and then I want to focus in on that last kind of soil, that good soil, and ask the question, where does that come from? How does God create good soil? To start with, though, we have the hard soil. We don't get to the good soil. Typically, the stories always end with a positive example. Not always, but usually the positive example comes at the end. We begin instead with the hard soil. And the hard soil in the parable is like that path that he walks along. It's like this concrete road here. Seed that's thrown onto the path doesn't have a chance to seep into it. But Jesus isn't just talking about agricultural practices here. He's talking about people. He's talking about human hearts and our capacity to receive the word of the kingdom. And this first type of person, this hard soil person, is a person whose heart is hard. Maybe it's a person who is that avowed atheist, who is convinced that there is no God, who wants nothing to do with any talk of God, who any time discussion of God comes up, he shuts it down, and any time word falls on his heart, he won't have anything to do with it. His heart is hard. There is resistance there. The word of God cannot get in. But it doesn't always look like that. Sometimes a hard soil person can be seated right there in a church pew on a Sunday morning. Can be someone who, when the preacher says, boy, we need to fix this country, they say amen. And the preacher says, boy, there's a lot wrong in this world, they say amen. And when the preacher says, boy, there's changes that need to be made, they say amen. But when the preacher says, maybe the change is in your heart, they roll their eyes. But when they say that maybe we too need to love our neighbors as God has loved us, they scoff. Who, when God says that we need to forgive and seek forgiveness for ourselves, they want nothing to do with it. That person's heart is just as hard. And their participation in a Sunday service or a worship service has nothing to do with the fact that the resistance around their heart has not let the Word of God penetrate in a meaningful way. And this is important for us to remember. Because a person can believe in God or believe in a God and yet still not receive the word of the kingdom. And this was the case of many in Jesus' day. Most of the people that he spoke to believed in God. In fact, would describe themselves as very religious, as very serious in their faith, but their hearts were hard. And so when the word of the kingdom came, when the good news that Jesus came to proclaim fell upon their hearts, it was hard and it could not get in. This is hard soil, soil that is so set in its ways, that is so hard and firm that the word of God cannot penetrate without great effort. Sometimes that effort will come. We'll talk about that. There is another type of soil, though. That's the shallow soil. That's, Jesus says, those who hear the word and immediately they're really excited. Maybe you've met somebody like that, who just gets excited about things really quick. A new fad comes on and they say, yes, I've got to do this. And they throw themselves in wholeheartedly and they're super passionate about it for about a week. And then something else comes along and they're off to that new thing. We've met these kind of people. We call them still today shallow, flaky. That's what Jesus is talking about here. The soil is shallow. It wasn't that they weren't fervent. They were excited. They probably did believe, but it didn't take root. The roots were not allowed to grow deep. And so without root, a plant, if you know anything about horticulture, a plant with no root doesn't have much of a future, because it's the root that not only provides the nutrients that helps it grow, but it's the root that keeps it anchored in the ground so when the wind blows, it doesn't fall over. So when someone comes along, they don't just kick it and pop it out of the ground. Those who receive the word, but it doesn't take root, it doesn't sink in deeply. Their faith is shallow and hard to endure. And we need to be cautious of this. Even in the church, we need to be careful of this, because it is easy for us to live in an age that sees seriousness for the scriptures as a sign of a higher calling into ministry. I heard a preacher talking about this week, saying that we need to be careful as a church that we don't see any time we see someone really interested in the Bible that we say, wow, maybe you're supposed to be a pastor. All of us should be really interested in the Bible. Taking faith seriously shouldn't be a sign of a higher calling. It should be the sign of a calling as Christians, because this is who we are. It's what we're called to. And well, yes, there are people, men who are called into a higher calling and women who are called to serve in higher callings. All of us as Christians have a responsibility to take seriously the study of the Word of God, to take seriously the things of God, to write them on our hearts, to wear them on our foreheads, to engrave them above our doors, as the scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy. But if the soil is shallow, if we don't allow the roots to grow deep, then we'll be like so many we see in the news all the time who talk about leaving the faith. And as we see their reasons, we see the same old reasons that people have given all along. A shallowness of faith. A faith that didn't have deep roots to deal with the complexities of life. Then there is that soil that is weed infested. And those are those, and the weed infested soil are those people who hear the word and they believe the word, they receive it as good news, but they have bills to pay. And they have mouths to feed. And they have three or four things on their schedule this afternoon alone. And they've got medical conditions that arise. And all of these things, don't get me wrong, all of these things are perfectly valid and true. They're a part of life. And yet they accumulate, and yet they build, and yet they grow. And whether it's the pursuit of a career, or whether it's the worries of life, or whether it's the fear, or the doubt, or the anxiety, or the stress, it builds up and it chokes up. And it strangles that good seed until it has no life. If any of you ever tried to grow a garden in your backyard, you've maybe experienced what happens when weeds come up. Constantly picking because the weeds spring up so easily. So it is with the worries of this life. God tells us, do not worry. Why? Because we don't need much encouragement. The weeds grow easy. It's far more important than we hear don't worry than we hear worry, because worry comes very naturally to us. Weeds grow naturally in a garden. And yet we are not called to live weed-infested lives. These things come, these things happen, there are cares and there are worries in this life, there's no doubt about that. But if the weeds are allowed to choke out the fruit, then don't be surprised when come harvest time we have nothing to show. And finally, there is that good soil. Here in Minnesota, we have a lot of good black soil. They would probably, in Jesus' day, have been envious of the amount of good farmland we have right around here. Growing up in Israel and Palestine, they would not have, I think, imagined this sight that we can see from right here. Good soil is a commodity that we can sometimes take for granted. But if you're a farmer, you know how valuable it is. And it's this good soil that allows the seed to take deep root, that allows it to grow, that allows it to thrive, that allows a seed to produce a harvest that is 30, 60, even 100-fold what was sown. And this, if you are a farmer, is what you're hoping for. You want the bumper crop. But where does the good soil come from? That's the second part I want to talk about. We know that good soil is the ideal. We all want to be good soil. But how does that good soil come about in our lives? And this is God's work. And he does it primarily through two different ways. And I want to talk about these two different ways. The first is, as any farmer knows, I'm going to use some agriculture examples here. Loosely, we're not going to get too deep into it. I don't want to expose my deep lack of farming knowledge. But the first way that God does it is through fertilizer. Through fertilizer. And by this, I mean the blessings and the good things and the gifts that we receive from God in this life. The things that God in his providence provides for us. The things that we often look to in life as a source of pleasure, as a source of fulfillment, as the things that give life value and meaning. Those things that you get out of bed for the morning excited about. I hope you have some of those in your life these days. Even if they're maybe a little harder to find. It could be our work, could be our income, it could be our hobbies. Those things that God has given us, those good things that he has given us for our provision, for our sustenance, for our blessing. Are you following me on this? Fertilizer. I'm talking about the blessings that God gives us. And these are good things. These are life-giving things. And they help the soil to be fertile. They help make sure that the soil is not starved and nutrient-deprived. Maybe you've met a Christian who seems like they're lacking a little fertilizer. Yeah, I have the joy of the Lord today, let me tell you. I remember singing growing up, what was the name of the song? I'm looking to my mother. My mother is here today. I'm looking to her to see if I remember. But we would sing a song growing up, and we'd talk about, "Oh Lord, I feel like dancing." And we always joked because in the church we grew up, we didn't have many dancers. And it always seemed a little disingenuous to say, "Oh Lord, I feel like dancing." It's foolishness, I know. Maybe you've met some Christians who go through life that way. They seem nutrient deprived. It's not that they don't have a faith, but boy, does it seem dry. And boy, does it seem unappealing. God provides blessing in life for us to enjoy, for our contentment. He fertilizes the field because He wants us to have nutrients. He wants us to be able to grow. And yet, understand me here, because this is important. The purpose of fertilizer is always to help produce a crop. The purpose of fertilizer is always intended to help produce a crop. Nobody keeps fertilizer around for its own innate virtues. The fertilizer, in and of itself, is not the point. It has to be spread upon the field in such a way that it helps produce a harvest, or else it has no real value. Woe to the farmer who at the end of the harvest season calls his friends together and says, "Look, my silos are empty, but boy, do I have a massive pile of fertilizer." It has no value. And so too, the blessings that we receive in life are given to us for the express purpose of producing righteousness and godly spiritual fruit in our lives. And if we are not using the blessings that we have received to produce righteousness in our own lives and to produce righteousness in the lives of those around us, then all it is fertilizer that we've piled up. It has no value in and of itself. And we have some agency in this to help spread that fertilizer evenly. Yet how easy it can be for us to hoard fertilizer. For us to take our wealth and hoard it rather than spread it throughout our lives so that blessing and righteousness may abound. To so focus on our work and the importance of our work that we fail to recognize the higher purpose in why we are called to work, so that we may be the bearers of God's image, and that we may produce righteousness in ourselves and in others. We need to spread and use the fertilizer to produce righteousness in our lives. We can't find our value in the size of our fertilizer pile, because at the end of the day, a pile of fertilizer is simply, well, you know. But when properly applied, that fertilizer nourishes the field and it helps the soil yield fruit. And yet fertilizer alone by itself is not enough, because fertilizer doesn't only help the crops grow, but fertilizer also helps the weeds grow as well. And the same need, or the seed that we are growing needs to take root for it to properly flourish. It needs to be able to get in deep. It needs to be able to grow weed-free. And so the farmer does not only spread fertilizer, but the farmer also prepares his field with the plow. And I will tell you off the bat, between the two, I much prefer fertilizer to the plow. Because when a farmer takes a plow to the field, he is tearing up the soil, he's aerating it, he's loosening it, he's helping turn organic matter into soil, he's preparing the soil to receive the seed. And if you've ever seen a plow go across a field, it's not a peaceful process. It is literally a blade that is shoved deep and pushed really hard to rip and tear and break. And the plowing not only loosens the soil, but it disrupts, it mechanically breaks up the roots of the weeds and disrupts the growing process of the weeds. And so too does God prepare our hearts in this life with the plow. Through the times of pain and through the times of trial that come to us in our lives, And as I said before, if I'm going to be honest with you, I much prefer fertilizer to the plow. And yet it is the plow by which God does the most important work of preparation in our lives. It is with the plow that God does the most important work of preparing our hearts to receive the good word of the kingdom. Because the plow is how God breaks into our lives in a way that disrupts the hard and rocky soil, that tears it up in a way that digs beneath the surface and penetrates deep so it's not that shallow dirt, in a way that breaks up the stranglehold of weeds that so easily entangles. Sometimes the hard soil that we have made, sometimes the hard soil, the rocky patches that have crept in unaware, whether we built it or whether it crept in unaware, God takes the plow to it. Why? Because He loves us. And it is in those times and periods of pain and of trial, when our lives are turned upside down, when the hard veneer of our hearts and our worldviews are shattered and they are exposed, it's in those raw and painful moments that we sometimes call the dark night of the soul that God prepares our hearts to receive the good word of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is at hand. And that is why it is so important for us to continually lay the word of God upon our hearts. Some of you have maybe heard me share this story before. I've shared it from this pulpit. A story of a rabbi who would often tell his students as a part of his instruction to lay God's word upon your heart. Lay it on your heart. Lay it on your heart. And finally, a student asked him, "Rabbi, why do you always tell us to lay God's word on our heart? Wouldn't it be better to put it in our hearts?" The rabbi said, "Well, of course it would, but only God can do that. But if you lay it on your heart, then when your heart breaks, it might slip inside. When your heart breaks, it may just slip inside. So lay the word of God upon your heart this morning, because the plow will come. Heartbreak will come in this life. And whether or not God causes it, that we don't know, but we do know He allows it. And He uses it for a purpose. And this is why the scriptures say that God uses suffering to produce perseverance, and perseverance to produce character, and character to produce hope. And that's a hope that doesn't disappoint us. Because it is in times of suffering and times of trial that God's word of the kingdom slips in and takes root and begins to grow. And I know for a fact that some of you are suffering today. I know that some of you are in a place right now that you did not ask to be in. And I know right now the plow feels very heavy upon your heart. And I want to remind you today that God is still at work. And the promises of God have not changed, and they have not failed. That those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. The trials and the sufferings and the pain that you are experiencing right now is not meaningless. That God is using it to achieve a purpose that is greater than you or I can imagine. Because the scriptures tell us that these trials that we experience in this life are preparing for us a weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs any trial that we experience in this life. God is using the hardships and the suffering of your life right now to prepare you for something. And I don't know what that is, because what He's preparing you for may not be something in this life. He is preparing you for the weight of eternal glory. That's not something that we can see. Do not look to what is seen, but to what is unseen. And do not lose heart. Because when the plow comes, God is still at work. And the process of preparing good soil is painful at times. But it will yield a harvest of righteousness. God is not done with you. He is just preparing you to receive the good word of the kingdom of God that will grow and that will flourish and that will abound 100-fold, that will abound even unto everlasting life. God is not done with you. And the scriptures tell us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. So if you are feeling the plow today, do not lose heart. You don't have to enjoy it. Grieve, mourn, but hope. And know that mourning will give way to songs of joy. Do not lose heart. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know that it is easy for us to ask that we might be good soil. Lord, instead I want to pray today for the resolve to accept what that means. Because to be good soil for the good word of the kingdom of God means to experience heartbreak in this life. Lord, not heartbreak that is devoid of joy. We know that we have joy in this life, that we are called to live always in the joy of the Lord, and we thank you for that. And yet, Lord, we know that we must acknowledge our brokenness today. For it is in our brokenness, it is in our pain, it is in our failings and our burdens that your word sinks in deep and brings life. Lord, be with those who are in need of a healing touch today. Healing of the body, healing of the spirit, healing of the mind, or healing of the soul. Meet them in their brokenness and plant your seed deep that it may take root and give life. Lord, may we use the blessings that we have received for the purpose of your kingdom. May we use the blessings that we have received to produce righteousness in ourselves and in others. And may we embrace the trials and the burdens of this life. Just as Paul did, just as Peter and the apostles did, just as Christ did. Knowing that sometimes it is through great pain that the kingdom of God takes root and advances. Help us to believe, God, that you are still at work, that you are not done with us, that the best is yet to come. Lead us farther up and farther in our faith, and produce good soil in our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.